COVID takes over the world, Main Street dance presses on, and sex trafficking makes headlines. Welcome to the Soul Dance Talk Show.
It's the Soul Dance Talk Show. It's the Soul Dance Talk Show. It's the Soul Dance Talk Show.
Yeah.
All right, and welcome to the very first episode of the Soul Dance Talk Show. I'm your host, Jesus, and that was our intro to the Soul Dance Talk Show. Yeah, we deserve a Grammy for that. We have a good show in store for you, but first, a word from our sponsor. This message was brought to you by Soul Innovations, LLC. Are you a choreographer or a dancer? Has it become difficult to find work during these unprecedented times? Has COVID just completely sucked the creativity and inspiration out of you? Well, look no further and wallow in your sorrows no more. SoulInnovations.com has the COVID creativity block cure. Now you can get back to creating and dancing again. All you have to do is register at www.soulinnovations.com. Once you do that, you can access the choreographer's page to submit and start selling your choreography online. If this is something you've been waiting for, put down that tub of ice cream, grab your cell phone or laptop, visit www.soulinnovations.com and start getting creative again. And the best part is that you can start making money again. Once more, visit www.soulinnovations.com to get access. All right, everyone, welcome back. That was a word from our sponsor and a really bad read by my part. That's probably why I never made it into the acting world. But enough about that. We don't want to go back to the past. First topic, what the heck is the Soul Dance Talk Show? I'm going to read to you the description that you've probably already read. And just as a reminder, the Soul Dance Talk Show creates a place for authentic conversation between industry professionals and dance studio owners that have helped shape and launch a performer's career. This podcast sets the stage for a deeper conversation on real-world issues and their connection to the dance entertainment industry. So basically, I want to put the dance studio owners at the forefront, and I want to know their stories and how they helped launch the dancers that are working out in the professional industry, and maybe some of them that you've probably seen on So You Think You Can Dance, just like me. Yay! All right, so that was an experience. Well, this whole thing really came about because of COVID. That's right. I said it. Thank you to COVID for closing down America and giving me time to think about what I wanted to do as far as providing an avenue for real talk in the dance community and what was happening out in the industry. And since I have friends that are professionals in the industry, why not bring them up on board and answer some questions that you may have? So yeah, that's what happened. And really, thank you to God, because I've been asking for something like this to happen, just to open the door, and he did, and I'm very thankful. So thank you, God, for opening that door and making this happen, because Soul Innovations would not exist, and or this podcast would not exist if it wasn't for answering of my prayers. And then let's see, what else? Let's talk about me. All right. here's a little outline, very short, very fast. And so keep up. All right. I am your host, Jesus. You might have seen me on So You Think You Can Dance a very, very long time ago, and made it to the top six guys in the country and went on tour for a while. I worked in the entertainment industry since the age of 15. I've traveled the world through dance tours, cruise ships. I've had a very successful career, and I thank God for that, for sure. Let's see. Did you like all? Yeah, I loved almost every minute of it, but I am glad I've moved out of LA and found myself a quiet and peaceful place where I can spend time with my family and friends without all the trash that comes with the industry in LA. Let's see, I like my hobbies. I like sci-fi shows and love watching conspiracy documentaries just for fun, actually. Some are interesting and believable, and some just are way out there. Let's see, I just received my bachelor's degree in communication, so that's probably why I'm here now, to communicate with you about dance stuff. And that's pretty much me in a nutshell. We can talk more if you have any more questions on who I am, then feel free to ask and I will go into more detail. Okay, let's move on. Our next topic, let's see, Main Street Dance. And our guest, Jocelyn Willis, who is the owner and director there. So we're going to go deep into conversation with Jocelyn about how COVID has affected her business, her students, basically just the studio in general, and how they're coping with the pandemic. Also, I went and I choreographed a piece for her students not long ago, and we covered the topic of sex trafficking and human trafficking, and that pretty much being a pandemic of its own. And we wanted to bring it to the forefront because it's finally coming into the limelight, into the news, not as much as we want to, but it's something that we went into deep conversation with her. And yeah, it was a really fun interview. So we'll cover that in a little bit. But first, a word from our sponsor. This message was brought to you by Soul Innovations LLC.
Hello, my friend.
¿Qué tal, Tim?
Thanks for meeting me here.
Yeah, no problem, man. What can I help you with?
Well, as you know, I'm directing my first dance recital and I just don't know where to start. Because of COVID, I can't hire anybody to do my scheduling and contracts for my production. It's just becoming overwhelming, you know?
You know, I really do know, Tim. In fact, I have just a solution for you. When you get home, open up your laptop and visit www.soulinnovations.com and purchase their booklet called A Director's Dance Production Guide. Within it, you will find everything that you need to make your production happen, from scheduling timelines to liability waivers and more.
Okay, now that's too good to be true. And why did your voice change?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, if you don't believe me, check it out for yourself and let me know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where do I go again?
Oh, that's www.soulinnovations.com. Again, that's www.soulinnovations.com.
You just changed your voice again.
No, I didn't.
Okay, anyway, thank you. Gracias, amigo.
Oh, and remember, the booklet serves as a sample guide only. You may have to adjust things to best fit your production needs. It's a use at your own risk type of thing, you know?
Oh, okay. Sí, gracias, amigo. You really did ease my mind.
Don't thank me. Thanks, Soul Innovations LLC. Here, we can thank them together. Come here.
Oh,
all right, on the count of three. Okay. And one, two, three.
Gracias, thank you, Soul Innovations.
All right. Thank you, Soul Innovations. You know, I'm having a blast making these commercials. So there, you get to listen to them. All right, let's get back on track. Let's move on to our interview, like I promised, with Jocelyn Willis that we did a while ago. One thing I forgot to mention, that Main Street Dance is actually the home of the God Squad Dance Crew, which is also a nonprofit organization which travels to different countries and ministers to people through dance. Now, that's inspiring. We discussed everything from COVID pandemic to her studio, students, and more. And this is how it went.
Say what you're
speaking to the mic. Who's Anthony?
Camera one,
camera two.
Yeah, just here. I'll speak to this one right here. All right, so let's begin. We're going to go over all these questions, Jocelyn. And all right, guys, welcome back. I'm here with Jocelyn, owner, manager.
Director
of Main Street Dance Company.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Main Street Dance Co.
Sure.
Period. And so, Jocelyn, tell us a little bit about yourself and what your position here is.
I am born and raised in the area, and I grew up dancing, and kind of fell into owning this business of this dance studio, and I love it so far. I get to teach dance for a living. I'm also, a lot more than just teaching now. But, so I'm the owner. I direct the companies and, do all the, I'm the janitor. I'm the
well, especially at these times, yes.
Yeah.
You kind of have to be everything.
Yeah.
So everybody gets along. Studios around here, I know that there's, how many, four?
I mean, we try our best to let's see, there's one in Atascadero, there's two in Paso, and then us here. So, yeah, there's a small community of dancers mm-hmm. in this North County area, and I know that the studio owners, we try to promote, unity and for
right.
everyone to encourage each other, and when we see each other at competitions, to encourage each other. Of course, there's that, competitive side of it, which can sometimes get the best of you, but we really try to make sure that kids aren't going that route and trying to just encourage each other. And when a student chooses to go to a different studio, then that's, everybody has their best fit, so that's
right.
fine.
Right. Well, it's good that you guys are at least trying to promote unity. I mean, it seems like a big enough area,
mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on what the focus is
for us, for my studio? I try to focus and encourage all the teachers to focus on not just teaching technique, but also teaching kids how to be good people and growing good and positive attitudes
mm-hmm.
and a good and positive self-worth and self-esteem. That's important that we are encouraging to the kids.
Yeah.
I've done some research, and kids need a third place to be accepted in order to find that spot in their lives to feel fulfilled.
Yes.
And to gain confidence. Mm-hmm. And so I just hope that we can be that positive third spot where they find who they are and are able to dance and learn dance in an environment that is encouraging and positive.
And which we need nowadays, we kind of need that type of environment, especially with all the things happening with COVID and whatnot. Positive environments
mm-hmm.
are a plus. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Let's see, what else do we have here? Okay, so this is a two-part question. Now, what are you trying to achieve as an owner of Main Street Dance, and what is your end goal ultimately for your business and your students, really?
To make $1 million.
$1 million. Okay.
No, if I was in it for the money, I probably would have never done it. So,
yeah.
No, the end goal is to get students to a place where they are able to move on to a college-level dance if they want to, or into professional, like they're ready to audition once they've reached the highest level here, that they can move on to that. So we try to prepare them for that, taking them to competitions or going to, we're halfway between San Francisco and L.A., so we can go and take master classes there and experience both the different cities and how dance is very, professional dance is different in San Francisco than it is
right.
in L.A. and
right.
the commercialism. And so they can find maybe what they love to do and which way they want to go, if
what
at all.
Them
mm-hmm.
best.
And the most important thing is that they learn that they need to work hard at whatever it is that they're going to do in life. So
that's important.
The skills that we teach in the dance room I try to remind them, and our teachers try to remind them that it's not just applying to a dance that is going to be performed maybe a few times, but the effort that they're putting forth is building a mental and physical strength to put towards anything that they do in life so that they can continue in whatever avenue they go to put their best forward
right.
and to always do their best so that they can know how great they can be.
Right. Oh, great. Well, that's a
was
good
idea. Did I answer everything? I don't even know.
Yeah, you did. I guess, the ultimate goal is the best that they can be. I think a goal for your business, you said $1 million, but I mean, ultimately just becoming a place where
Yeah, where kids are feel loved and encouraged and are also respected, and they respect their teachers. So when they come in, they're I mean, it's not just playtime, but they're ready to do something that calls them to a higher standard too, so that they're motivated to do great things. Because everybody can.
Yes, everybody can. Now, let's go back to you made a comment about competition.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to competitions with all these other studios, how do you manage not going to the same competitions, or do you go to the same competitions?
I used to kind of, like the first couple of years that I owned the studio, I felt like it was polite to ask, you know, the other studios if they were okay with us going to the same ones or not. Some were and some, you know, didn't mind, some did mind. There's so many competitions out there, and even if you end up at the same competition as studios that are like, you know, local with us, there's so many other studios there. And so I stopped worrying, and if we end up at the same one, then we can just be encouraging to each other, and if not, that I mean, the chances of ending up at the same one are slim because there's so many.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Do you ever tell them, like, what... Do you ever have to advise them on what competitions you're going to so that they don't go...
No, we don't have to. No,
oh,
and I don't...
Okay.
I've actually, like, encouraged other studios, let's go to the same one.
Yeah.
And, yeah, some studios are in, and they're like, oh, we're going to this one, come to this one, too. And so I've tried out some competitions on recommendations of other studios and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's not a big deal.
Great. So on to the next one is, how important is the success of your students to you and to the staff that you have?
That's our main focus. So that would be like the most important. If a student is not succeeding, sometimes you can tell, like not just in the dance room, but like their personal lives, something has happened. And so you can tell that the student is like lacking focus or kind of acting out. And so we've, like, myself...
Whole mood change.
Yeah.
And everything.
And some other teachers. Really, I'm just so proud of the staff that I have here. I'm so blessed to have such great teachers that care so much about the students,
mm-hmm.
that they'll text and call them outside of hours and
yeah.
or, like, meet together just to see how they're doing. And so,
right.
yeah, that's important.
Great. And moving on, another two-part question. Sorry, there's a lot of part questions. As you may be well aware, obviously, COVID-19.
What's COVID?
Just kidding. Nobody knows. The pandemic. It's hit some studios pretty hard. How has it affected you? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
It has been... unprecedented.
That's the word.
What person says that word?
Unprecedented.
When it first happened, I had no idea what to do, you know, and one of the moms recommended Zoom, which
yeah.
I had no idea what Zoom was, and now everybody knows
what
Zoom
knows
is. So we really pushed for that and, you know, offered a discounted rate because everything was virtual, and so the kids don't get to be in the studio, and so it's a little less of... a little more of a learning curve, and
right.
Some people went for it. I lost a lot of clients.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's difficult, and it's difficult for teachers, too.
Yes.
It was hard for me to be
yes.
motivated to come in to teach a class to a camera, and you can barely see the kids, you know, these little boxes, and
yeah.
It's hard to get motivated, because, you know, our motivation is the students.
Right.
But we pushed to do Zoom, we finished our season through June doing those Zoom classes. We ended up, I think halfway through June, we allowed a few kids to come in to the studio at a time, and like 3 to 5 students would come in and rehearse the dance, and we did a showcase outside.
Okay.
Yeah, we used the city park, and it went well for people that did attend. And now going into summer, we did some dance camps, you know, with limited students.
Mm-hmm.
And just a lot of, I mean, just the extra stress of not, you know, trying to make sure that I'm doing it the right way and not making anyone mad or doing things that could get us shut down.
Mm-hmm.
you know, really being careful, making sure everybody's washing their hands and their kids, and you're just like, wash your hands, did you wash your hand, you know?
Right.
The mask, you know, because there's so many people that have an issue or don't, you know, like really want you to wear them, and other people that really can't, you know, and so both sides, like I just, I had to Google a lot of things just to find out, you know, procedures and protocols that we were taking care of, and I found a liability to fit my studio, like a release that they have to sign.
Right.
I mean, I think mostly the effect on me has just been the extra stress of how to do this and how to move forward, and are people going to come? Or, you know, do I continue to do an online thing? And I have people that definitely don't want to continue if it's online,
yeah.
And people that definitely can't come into the studio because they have compromised health, and it's just so
it's
difficult.
Really hard.
So I'm trying to set a schedule. I'm just like, and people are, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
What's happening? Or what are your plans for? You know, and I'm like, does
yeah.
anybody know what's going on?
Yeah.
It's so hard to navigate. And I decided that I just need to make a schedule and do the best that I can and offer what I can, because I can't control the rest of it, you know?
Well, I hope that you are managing now. So you were kind of open.
Kind of
and not.
Yeah, so it's like under day camps is kind of
okay.
what we're doing, and limited students in. I mean, right now we're just doing some choreography for our companies, and
mm-hmm.
those companies are less than 10 kids, and, you know, requiring all the protocol to make sure everybody's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I joke that I should get a real estate license just so I wouldn't have to worry about any of this anymore. But I honestly,
yeah.
I might, you know, I would not be happy if I couldn't dance.
Yeah.
I'm sure you feel the same way.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just coming back and dancing in the studio on my own time with nobody there, it's my favorite part of the day sometimes. Second to my daughter and my wife, of course. Because I love spending time with them,
yeah.
and my daughter's just, you know, she's going to be two. So, well, what advice would you have for other businesses that are going through the same thing? I mean, you've managed to, in a way, stay open,
mm-hmm.
and although you lost a few students, it hasn't.
It
know,
hasn't killed us yet.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
And we break into a song.
I don't know if I have advice. I just keep doing what you can do,
mm-hmm.
and what you love to do. Follow your passion. Follow what you love. Because that passion will keep you going, even in these, you know, I pray about it, like, God, what should I do?
Right.
This is so hard. And he's like, you know what you need to do,
yeah.
you know? And you've been through harder things, and persevere.
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps coming back, like, do not fear. And so, yes, this virus is real, but I'm not going to live in fear and shut
right.
everything down and then lose my business, lose my job, and which supports my family. And so many things that ride on this.
And fear is what seems to be playing out in the news a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's a, you know, it's wrong.
It's sad.
It's sad. And it just goes to show how much power fear has.
Mm-hmm.
The way I explain fear is that it keeps you away from doing something bad, meaning if you're on a ledge, it keeps you, that fear of
right,
falling
there's
over.
There's a healthy
keeps
fear.
You,
yeah,
yeah,
like
keeps
don't
you from falling
walk across
over.
A freeway when
yeah,
black trucks are coming.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, I feel like they should promote fear as, you know, don't go too close. Don't go,
mm-hmm.
but don't.
We have
so
common
many
sense.
Laws.
Yeah,
yeah, it's common sense. Wash your hands. Wash
uh-huh.
your face.
But we can't
you know.
Live in fear of
we
something.
Can't.
I mean, just living in fear is in like your own personal jail cell.
Right.
We need to continue for our mental health.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is that they talk about the news has only been talking about all the deaths and how bad COVID is. But they haven't been talking about the positives. So, like, they have 95%, I think even more,
mm-hmm.
Percentage of people come out of it. Mm-hmm. I was one of those people, and just...
He's a survivor!
Let's not go there. But anyways, I lost my sense of smell and taste. Mm-hmm. And one can't live without the other, so it's... You kind of lose it both. But it's... Unless you have an underlying condition, yes, it's going to be bad. But even though it's worse than the flu, they should have promoted it some in that kind of manner, I think. But like you, I've taken the fear and made it into a positive. Going back, which is a good segue, into you say you pray, you also have another company. Or is it a... It's a squad.
It's a non-profit.
Okay.
Yeah, so I serve
a non-profit.
Tell us a
little bit. It's called Dance... Oh my gosh, now I forgot. God Squad Dance Crew.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, okay.
Yeah, God Squad Dance Crew.
So tell us about that. How did that come about?
I became a Christian.
Okay.
And I actually quit dance for a year because I didn't know how those two went together because, mm-hmm. I mean, dance is so secular the way I learned it. You know, like, I love to do hip-hop, and it was just... so suggestive, and even our jazz teacher and our jazz dances were very seductive. So I struggled when I became a Christian, like, well, I'm a newly married girl and I shouldn't be dancing like that. And I feel wrong teaching girls that are under 18 to like kind of solicit their bodies. It just didn't feel right anymore. So I took a year off and I just like prayed about it, and I started teaching a few little classes at my church, you know, like for free. Little kids would come in and we did little dance shows for their parents, and it was really cute. And then God just kind of put it on my heart. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it, but it just happened naturally where some dancer, I started teaching a couple classes at the local studio, and some of my dancers were Christians. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you want to do this dance for this women's conference?
Wow.
And so I put together a group of like five, and that's how we started. We did a women's conference, and my husband is an ex-gang member, and he has a pretty amazing testimony.
Wow.
But he was so afraid of public speaking that he would never share it.
Yeah.
And I would get mad at him because I'm so outgoing, you know. So I put it into a dance. I kind of showed his testimony in a dance, and then he had to tell a story. And people were, like, moved to tears with the dance and the story that went together, and they wanted us to dance at other church functions. And so, like, for a year, we kind of went on a local tour around.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is a thing. This is kind of happening.
Yeah.
And people wanted to support us. And then a lady in my church offered to help make us an official nonprofit and help me to do all the paperwork and... I mean, it just really, people just kind of showed up and
you probably gravitated to it, just the message and...
And one of my dancers' dad said, you need a website. And then another guy in our community, he said, you guys need a brand, you know, you need this like logo and help us make that. And then all of a sudden we had t-shirts, so that makes you legit, you know?
A t-shirt makes you legit.
Yeah. Now we got t-shirts. So yeah, so God Squad Dance Crew has been... I mean, it started in 2009. It's been official since 2011. And now we're in, like, 2020, so it's pretty good.
Wow.
And we've been to, you know, Costa Rica and Africa and gotten to, like, travel
and
Mexico.
This is through the God Squad Dance Crew.
Yeah, God Squad Dance Crew.
And it's, like, you go out and...
Yeah, so it's it's a ministry dance group. So we do dances not just like that you'd see in church, you know, praising God. Those are great. But we try to share a story with every dance so that it breaks cultural and language barriers. So wherever we go, people can see the love of God and what that does to your life through a dance. And it's been really powerful and been really neat to see the transformation in kids that become part of God Squad Dance Crew.
Yeah.
As we, you know, we also do Bible study with them, and then they learn so much, and then we're able to, you know, bring that to other people. And it's really beautiful.
Amazing.
And fulfilling.
I
love it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, it's great because that brings some kind of, you know, brings value to the studio as well, because Christianity does have
values, morals.
And morals, yeah.
I think some people come to this studio, to Main Street Dance, because they know that we are God's, the home of God Squad Dance mm-hmm. Crew, and so many dancers that come to the studio end up in, you know, growing into that group. Mm-hmm. So I believe that I've noticed that some dance families end up coming to Main Street Dance because they know that we're the home of God Squad Dance mm-hmm. Crew, and they want their kid to someday be part of that. Yeah. Others come, they might not be Christian, and we don't like... We're not selling Jesus in every class. Like,
right.
I have teachers that aren't even Christians, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a moral basis, and so some people stay because they know that there's that, you know, we're not going to teach them to do stripper moves.
Yes. And there are those studios where mm-hmm. they go to competition, and you see them in crop tops where it's just, and it just looks too adult.
Yeah.
And they should not. And they're like, what, 15, 12 to 15?
I've seen them be 8 and,
really?
You know, and spray tanned and the fake eyelashes, you know, and it's a little bit too much for me. And I always felt weird about that. And so I took away the fake eyelashes, and I don't even like to do red lipstick anymore. Like, it's just like, let's be our beautiful faces.
Yeah.
And that's, each one is individual and beautiful. And we should just enhance that beauty and not try to make it something it's not.
Do you think there should be a rule or limit to what age range should dress, you know, in competitions or what they should cover.
Yeah, and I know that most competitions that we go to now do have a, like a disqualification if it's too, or they get marked down or something if
they're
it's
too risque.
It's too old for their age or something like that. And I think, you know, for the most part, studios kind of agree on that, but it is hard to separate from what we have done for so long in the dance world and what girls, you know, little kids do naturally, shake a booty, you know, my little 2-year-old niece loves to shake her little booty.
Yeah.
But to teach them that, you know, that's cute, but, you know, to be a real dancer, we're not going to twerk. That's not, that's not a skill you need to have in life. The lipstick, it's hard because we do dance on a stage. So with the stage light, and so that's kind of a balance that we've tried to figure out. And it does make them look more, you know, uniform if they all have the same color. But again, we don't want to do something bright red that looks like, you know, my dad would call it a nightwalker.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't need to paint little kids' faces like they're, you know, bright red lipstick, but something that's a natural tone that just so you can bring out their face features. And that's what makeup should be doing on a kid.
Yeah. And I actually choreographed a routine in, I won't say which state, because it's the only city that I go to in that state, but I choreographed a routine, and I later on found out that they were, you know, that they competed and that they posted on YouTube. So I got it. And what I choreographed had been changed a little bit, but the costume was nothing of what I envisioned, and they were just uncovered, red lipstick, they were doing extra sexual movement, which I did not put that in there.
A new dad to a daughter,
these
are daughters,
yes, and that's what I see, and honestly, when they're doing that, when you put your daughter out there, it's as if you're promoting sex, which brings me to a piece that I recently I choreographed for you and on your students, and it was about sexual sex trafficking or human trafficking. I'm going to call that a pandemic. Human trafficking, because it's a huge problem. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a huge problem that not a lot of people talk about, and I think it's been too heavy, you know, almost like you're just like, can we just talk about something positive? And nobody wants to go there because it's so terrible.
Yes.
And now that we're in this pandemic and people are home and we're dealing with all kinds of things, we need to shed light on this. And I think the hard part is knowing that it's happening and not knowing how to help and what to do, you know, and how do you stop it? And I think one of the things we can do is not train our girls to dress and act suggestively
Yes.
And I don't know if that's going to stop what you know, how do people get taken? How do people get, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And like, all we can do is what we can do, like, what can I do? And so this is my part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thank you for having me, or allowing me to create something like that.
Oh my gosh, it was,
I know,
amazing.
It was last minute. I was like, I have this idea. But it's just something that has always been in my heart to talk about. And especially now that I have a daughter, it's even more, you know, important to me and really close to my heart. And I hope that we get to promote it, you know, in competition and in any other dance.
I hope
avenue.
We get to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. darn COVID.
Yeah. And share it with people just to raise awareness,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And, I just wish there, you know, like, what can, now what, you know, like,
yeah.
There's a, you did this amazing dance, and so we need to, like, find a link or something,
right.
Like, go here to help,
right.
Or,
I mean, and I hope it makes an impact, because, I mean, Vanessa's tied up, your dancer, she's tied up, she's gagged, you know, and it's,
no, it's very real,
it's
very
real.
Good.
Yeah, and I didn't want to make it, you know, because when you don't add the real thing in there, in a way, not
mm-hmm.
saying it's supposed to be like so real, but reality, it makes a difference. It makes a different impact than if it were just a, I feel like,
yeah,
reaching
kind of
and
sugar-coated, and it could be taken like, well, it could be mean this or that,
mm-hmm.
but you're, I mean, even the words that you wrote over
mm-hmm.
the song, oh my gosh, it just like hits so hard, and you want to do something about it.
Right.
So good job.
Thanks. Thanks. I mean, it's out there. The data is out there that 71% of, you know, of women and girls are being sex trafficked, and you know the rest of the percentage is men and boys. So, and that's around the world. And I mean, I can't imagine how much it is in the United States, you know, especially between California and Mexico. And, you know, and it's hard because, you know, you see the president talk about a border and then others not wanting it because it's racist. But me as a Mexican, as a Mexican American, and who I am and what I know of my family that crosses over constantly, and being a household that took in refugees, family refugees, we get the whole scoop, we get the whole story, and there are a lot of children being used to cross over,
wow,
into the U.S., into San Diego, into Texas, and it's heartbreaking because they use them, these kids, to say, oh yeah, I have kids and I need to claim asylum. Some of them are real. We can't deny that. But others are not. And what's interesting is that my family was that was seeking asylum. They were in there for months, which is fine. But they, when they got out, I asked them, I said, were you taken care of? Were you? And they said, yes. Like, we were, it's as if we were in first class, they said. And I'm like,
nice.
Wow. So you guys had showers, everything. Like, yeah. We were together with our kids, you know, for a period of time we were separated from our kids, but they gave us like a wristband or I don't know what it was so that they knew who belonged to who. But they were reunited later on. It wasn't very long that they were separated, but they just so they can do all the paperwork and then
mm-hmm.
they reunited them again. And but the stories that they told us while they were trying to get to the border, caravans, you know, it just dead on the streets, people dead on the streets. And it was heartbreaking. And I think this whole thing is a real thing. And I've been spending my time recently just watching human trafficking documentaries and videos and true stories that people tell. And so it's kind of hard to see. And I want to take a bigger step into advocating for, you know, protection, you know, of these kids, these people, you know. Mostly, I mean, most of the trafficking is sex trafficking, and then after that is a labor trafficking. So
we just need to, you know, have our eyes open mm-hmm. to it, and that's what your dance, that was today's verse. I get a verse of the
sure,
day.
Share it.
Check it. It's really short. It is Psalm 146:8. It says, "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind." Mm. We just need our eyes open.
Yes.
We need our eyes open so we can see what, and not be afraid to look at it, because it's, you know?
And I think that's what's happening
it's
right
a lot.
Now. A lot of people's eyes are opening. I mean, there's been a lot of protests in L.A., protests in Chicago, in Texas, and so...
You mean like rallies?
For, you know, to oppose, you know, to bring awareness to human trafficking, and that's really the biggest thing. You know, we have Black Lives Matters, we have all these rallies, but really human trafficking overall is the biggest problem that we have right now.
Yeah.
Apart from the virus is, I mean, not scary compared to, for me, it's not scary compared to that. All right, I think we are running out of time. So anything else you'd like to talk about or any questions that you may have or, you know, shout out that you'd like to make?
Shout out to Soul Innovations, always innovating. No, I'm good. You did right. Good. Thanks.
Thanks again for having me. And
I think you're having me. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for having me over. Thanks for letting me come over and interview you. This is our first episode, and
stay tuned for more.
Stay tuned for more next month.
And we're back. You know, that was a really fun interview with Jocelyn. The sound quality may have been horrible, but hey, I'm doing this myself, so cut me some slack. No, I'm really glad that Jocelyn and her studio are doing well and carrying on in a safe manner through practicing social distancing. There really is nothing more you can do besides that. So good job, Jocelyn. And also thank you for allowing me to work with your students and interviewing you for this segment. Keep it going, keep your faith strong, and God bless. We'll see you again. Okay, so that wraps up our show. Remember to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Share with your friends and dance community to keep them up to date and in the know. If you would like to get involved and donate to Stop Human Trafficking, visit our website at www.soulinnovations.com for more information on how you can make a difference. For next month's episode, we will be discussing Philip Shabib's sudden move to quit dancing in pursuit of a presidential ticket. Also, Netflix's controversial new film, Cuties. And no, not the oranges you buy at the store, makes waves. Also, if you know of a studio owner that's made a difference in a dancer's life and you want their stories to be heard, email us at soulinnovations@gmail.com. Until then, remember to continue innovating and always dream big. Adios, amigos.
It's the Soul Dance Talk Show. It's the Soul Dance Talk Show. It's the Soul Dance Talk Show.
Yeah.
This episode was brought to you by Soul Innovations, LLC.